I have to give you fair warning. I've never worn one of these wireless mics, so I'm totally don't know what to do with my right hand. Just don't know what to do. And the second thing is if I cough or clear my throat and I don't like move away from the microphone, bear with me with that. I'm not used to wearing one of these this morning. I went to Pastor Peter a few months ago, and I was talking with him, and I said, you know, if there's ever a time where you feel just maybe overwhelmed or for whatever reason you can't be here, don't ever hesitate to come and to see me. I might be willing to fill in for you. I didn't think he was going to take me seriously. But here I am. And let's pray together. Father, it is so our desire to just come into your presence and to just stand in the throne room of heaven based upon what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And Father, we boldly stand before you, humbly as your people. And Father, I don't want the words that I share this morning to be my own, but I want them to truly be led by your Spirit, and that you would just speak to us what you have to share. Father, give me the strength that I need. Give me the clarity of mind and the accuracy to share your word in truth. Father, we just commit our time to you, and we so look forward to your presence amongst us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We all face suffering or difficulties of some sort. Many of us have real suffering that hurts real deep. And many of us perhaps are suffering more than we really are, or we believe we are suffering more than we really are. And so this morning, I want us to look at one particular man who I believe has suffered more than any man perhaps ever, certainly more than any man biblically. And this man's name was Job. And I think it would be fair for me to say that I don't believe any of us have ever suffered to the extent that Job has suffered. And so we're going to be in the book of Job this morning. And I don't want the familiarity and just the common story that we just know so well to do away with what God would want to hear, what God would want to share with us this morning. So set aside the familiarity of the story and let us let God just speak to our hearts this morning. I want to start with one particular verse that, and Job makes an incredible statement. In the midst of everything that he faced and everything that he went through, Job said this, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him," as the King James Version would put it. And that's sort of the basis for this message this morning. Can God be trusted with your troubles? Can God be trusted when you are facing suffering of any magnitude? Now, Satan believes that no man can trust God simply just to trust God. I believe Satan believes that there's always some ulterior motive, and we're going to see that as we look here in the beginning part of Job. Job chapter 1 says, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East." Job was the man. He was the big shot. He was the guy that had it all. Financially, he was stable. Spiritually, he was a great man. He loved God. Socially, economically, domestically. I mean, Job was the man, the big shot in the land. But Satan is very suspicious of Job. He's very suspicious of Job's relationship with God. And so Satan wants to see what happens to Job if some difficulties come. Verse 6 says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and back and forth in it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright man who fears God and shuns evil. Verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? That is, God, Job doesn't really love you. He only thinks he loves you. Because you have been so good to him. Because you have blessed him. Because, God, you have put a hedge of protection around him. He doesn't really love you. God, you just let me at him. You let me give him some supersized, industrial-sized problems. And Job will curse you to your face. Continuing here in verse 9. Have you not put a hedge around him, Satan says, and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now Satan is going to bring about some serious trouble for this man Job. And God allows it. God actually initiated the conversation. Have you considered my servant Job? Now God is going to allow Satan to bring some serious difficulties into the life of Job. But he gives him this. He gives him some limitations. Of his own life, you cannot touch him. You cannot touch his physical life and his physical body. And so the question is, can God be suffered when you are facing suffering? Verse 13 of chapter 1. One day when Job's sons, daughters, were feasting and drinking wine. I'm sorry, I went too far ahead of myself. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, a messenger came and said to Job, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were gazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put their servants to the sword, and I only have been left and escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camel and carried them off. They put their servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Job loses everything financially. In one fell swoop, everything was taken away from Job. Can you imagine if you woke up tomorrow morning and the stock market crashed? You lose your job, and everything financially you have has been wiped out and taken away from you. This is what happened to Job. But Satan is not done yet. He continues. It says, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine in your older brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the east and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Now Job loses his entire family. All 10 children have been killed on top of the loss of his finances, on top of these people coming in and robbing him and taking everything away from him. His children are now gone. Satan isn't done yet. Look over in chapter 2, in verse 4. It says, beginning actually in verse 1, on another day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He asked the question again. There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity. Though you indicted me against him to ruin him without any reason. Satan replies, and Satan doesn't get the results he wants the first time, so now he wants to go a little further. Skin for skin, Satan replied, a man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and his bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. And now Job is infected with a serious disease. Some people believe they were boils, but he had some kind of a disease that came upon his body, so that he went out into the ash heap and took some broken pottery and started scraping the ooze and the pus from his body. And if these were boils, I'll tell you, they're awful painful. I've had one in my life, and they're excruciating. He was covered from his head to his feet in these boils, and he's sitting there scraping this stuff from his body. I don't know about you, but that's enough to send any man crazy. But Satan, he wants to take this even a step further. Look in Job 4, verse 7. His friends, who he thought he could trust and count on, were no comfort to him at all. When he needed them the most, they weren't there. Well, they were, but they certainly weren't giving him any good counsel. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Eliphaz is speaking here, one of Job's closest friends. It says, consider now who, being innocent, has ever perished. Where were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed it, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. In other words, he's saying to Job, Job, what have you done wrong? Job, there must be a secret sin in your life. No good man, no righteous man has ever suffered like this for no reason. You must have done something wrong. His friends, they were no comfort at all. Sin and wrongdoing has its consequences. And sin and wrongdoing can bring about suffering. But to say that all suffering is the result of sin is wrong. And that's what his friends were doing. His own friends. His reputation is now being tarnished and taken away from him. And what about you? What if your reputation was at risk? People were pointing a finger of accusation and accusing you of things that you hadn't done wrong at all. Blaming you for things when you've done nothing wrong. Can God be trusted when you are facing suffering? Job stood firm in his faith and what he believed. And he says this in Job 1:20. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God. Can you say this with Job? I mean, tomorrow morning you wake up, you lose all of your finances, and you go bankrupt. Your children have died, or someone really close to you is now gone. You're infected with a terrible disease that is painful in your body. You turn to your friends, and your friends just start accusing you and pointing a finger of accusation. Can God be trusted when you are facing suffering, is the question. Certainly, Job suffered. It also poses another question. Can God be trusted when loved ones turn on you? It is one thing to go through suffering, but when we go through suffering and no one understands and no one is there to counsel us and give us good godly wisdom, can God be trusted when your friends forsake you or loved ones turn on you? Look, if you will, in Job 19. And we're going to see the magnitude of this. Job 19. In verse 1 it says, "How long will you torment me and crush me with your words?" He's speaking of his friends. 10 times you have reproached me. Shamelessly you attack me. Down to verse 14 of chapter 19. "My kinsmen have gone away. My friends have forgotten me. My guests and my maidservants count me a stranger. They look on me as an alien. I summon my servant, but he does not answer. Though I beg him with my own mouth, my breath is offensive. Though I beg him with my own mouth, my breath is offensive to my own wife. I am loathsome to my own brothers. Even the little boys scorn me when I appear, and they ridicule me. All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me." Can you trust God when your friends forsake you? Have you ever had a friend do this to you? Maybe a business partner, an associate, a co-worker? Maybe a close relative, a brother or a sister in Christ. Or maybe even more painful, maybe your wife or your husband has betrayed you and left you in some way. Maybe your children have rebelled against you and have forsaken your teaching and are living an ungodly life that is unpleasing to God and to you. It happens. It happens all the time. People will betray us. People will hurt us. Can you trust God when your friends forsake you and when your friends betray you? What about you young people sitting out here? Have you ever made a stand for God? You wanted to do what was right? Maybe there's a party down the street or a function at school. Or maybe there's some event that you think, well, I ought not to attend. I know what goes on at these parties. And you're going to make a stand. You're going to stand up for what is right. And you're going to say, I'm not going. And your friends, they don't understand. All they want to do is laugh at you and make fun of you for not going. Have you ever been in that situation? It hurts. Job faced that. His friends forsook him. It doesn't just happen to adults. Young people suffer these things. Can you trust God when your friends forsake you? And you young people, it would be wise for you to learn at a young age that God can be trusted. No matter what your friends do to you, you will always have God. And you will always have a body here that would love you and help you through these times. Trusting God is something we need to all learn. And young people, you need to learn it early so that as life goes on and those times come, you will have God to lean on. Verses 12 through 14. David suffered at the hands of a friend. He says, "If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion and my close friend, with whom I have once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng in the house of God. One of David's closest friends turned on him. Judas Iscariot turned on Jesus. He was a disciple, a follower. He was with Jesus for 3 years. And he turned his back on Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and betrayed him. Jesus knew it was coming, but I don't think it made it any less painful. Perhaps what is worse than suffering physically is to have friends who turn on you, to forsake you. I don't think there is a deeper hurt that we know as humans than to have our friends betray us and to hurt us deeply. Have you gone through something like that? Can we trust God when our friends forsake us? And the last question is, can you trust God when you are in total darkness? Job is totally in the dark. Job doesn't have a clue what is going on. We have the book of Job. We can read it. We know the conversation between God and Satan. We know that God's allowing all of these things. But Job doesn't know this. He's going through this and he is totally clueless. He's the man. He's got it all together at one moment. And the next moment, everything is gone and his friends leave him. And he doesn't know what is going on. Job is in total darkness. He doesn't know what is happening. But Job did not... Can I read my notes here? Job didn't understand what was going on. It's like you wake up tomorrow morning and everything goes wrong, as I've already shared once. You lose your finances. You lose your job. The stock market crashes. You come home and to find out all your children have been taken away from you. Then you're inflicted with some kind of a disease, perhaps cancer or something worse. Then you turn to your friends, but all they do is point a finger of accusation and accuse you of some kind of a sin when you haven't done anything wrong at all. Then your wife, Job's wife, came and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" That's exactly what Satan said. Job would say, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" His own wife. What on earth is going on? Job is in total darkness. And Job cries out to God, chapter 23. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaining is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my own groaning." My complaining is nothing compared to how I feel. If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would have to say. Job is looking for God. "God, I need to talk to you." Verse 8, "But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him." I can picture Job standing before God. Maybe Job just comes and he kneels. And he puts up his hands to heaven and he says, "God, where are you? Where are you, God? I have questions for you, Lord. I have things that I need answered. I have gone to the east. I have looked to the west, Lord. I have gone to the north and to the south, Lord. Where are you, God? I need some answers. I don't know what's going on down here. I feel like I'm all alone in total darkness. And you are nowhere to be found. God, where are you? Where are you, God? I don't know how much more of this I can handle. Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever been in that situation? And you've gone and you've cried out to God, and it's like He's not even there. He can't be found. Job was in that place. Even though Job never sinned, he had questions. He had things in his life that he needed answers to. And it's like God had totally abandoned him. But we know that's not true. The question isn't, why, God? I don't know why. And I'm sure if you ask some pastors, maybe they don't know why. It more becomes a response from us. How? How are we going to respond when all of these things come upon us? Some of God's choicest saints have gone into deep darkness and have asked that very question, why? And I won't take the time because Rick didn't give me enough time. But Hebrews 11 would speak of some of God's choicest saints. Read Hebrews 11. Some of God's choicest saints went through some wonderful things, and some of them went through some terrible things. And they probably asked the question, why? Isaiah 50, verse 10 says, get there a little quicker. Isaiah 50. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of His servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon His God. Are you facing suffering? Any kind of difficulty in your life? We need to respond by trusting God. I just want to end with God finally responding to Job. And Job says a couple of great things here. But God finally responds, not necessarily answers Job's questions, but He responds to Job. It says then in chapter 38, verse 1, it says, "The Lord answered Job out of a storm and said, 'Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you and you shall answer me. Were you there when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me, if you understand. Who marked its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstones? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the seas behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness?'" And God just goes on and on. And basically, He's saying, Job, where were you when all of these things were going on? Were you there? You speak without words of understanding and knowledge. And Job makes an incredible statement after he hears from God in chapter 42. You said, listen now and I will speak. This is Job talking back to God. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job's relationship with God grew incredibly through this suffering. It went from his ears to his eyes, from his head to his heart. I think Job came out of this with a deeper and more intimate understanding of God, and his relationship with God grew immensely because of the suffering that came in his life. And I need to end. Chapter 42, verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted him and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him the piece of silver and a gold ring. And God blessed Job more in the latter half of his years than he did in the former. And Job never turned his back completely on God, even though his faith may have floundered a little bit and he may have had questions. Job remained committed to God. He remained faithful. He trusted God, even when everyone around him didn't understand, even when he himself didn't understand. And it's interesting that God doubled everything and he gave him back three daughters and seven sons. God didn't double his children because he never truly lost the first 10. They just went to heaven to be with God. He still has 20 children. And Job lived 140 years. And he saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And Job died old and full of years. Can God be trusted with your troubles? Can God be trusted with whatever you're facing, whatever kind of suffering you're going through? Can God be trusted? That is the question. I actually went over, but that's all right. I want to just close in prayer this morning. And I want us to just bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you're facing some difficulty this morning, some kind of suffering, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether there's a broken relationship with someone you love, whatever you're facing this morning, I just want us to take just one moment and just offer that up to God and ask God to just give us the ability and the strength to trust Him in the midst of whatever we're facing. Have just a brief moment of silence. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Father, we are just so grateful to you this morning that in the midst of heartache and suffering, bewilderment, being dismayed or perplexed, having questions, Father, whatever it is that we are facing, we are grateful that we have a God who understands, a God who knows, a God we can trust with the outcome. Father, help all of us, especially those who are hurting and perhaps hurting deep, that we can say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Help us, Father, to keep our eyes focused upon You and not upon our circumstances. That we may rejoice in knowing that You are good and that You are just and that You are fair. Guard our hearts and our minds from the attack of evil ones and even those that we love. Help us to trust You in all things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.